morning and welcome to the 888 Holdings fourth quarter KPIs conference call. For your information, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to your host today, to Gigi Levy, CEO of 888. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the call this morning. I'm sorry for the delay, but there were a few people trying to get in, and we decided to wait for them for a few minutes. I'm joined, as usual, by Aviad Kobrine, our Chief Financial Officer. Assuming that you all have seen the statement that we put out today, I will make a few comments now before opening the call for questions. After a challenging beginning to the year, Q4 has been a very strong quarter for us, with group total operating income up 18% quarter-on-quarter, a record quarterly sequential growth, and also record revenues for the group ever since we left the U.S. market. We have seen growth across all products and segments, and I'm particularly encouraged by our poker business, which showed a phenomenal 28% sequential growth in revenues and 74% sequential growth in active customers against the overall poker market trend. These results are the outcome of very successful marketing campaigns and product improvements, and are also demonstrated in the overall 71% growth in B2C active casino and poker customers, a record active figure for the company for more than 4 years. The staggering growth in active players did result, as expected, in lower ARPU, but overall revenues from these core products has increased by almost 20%. B2C Bingo maintained its growth vector with further 13% growth in Q4. Similarly, emerging offering grew by 13%, despite some favorable sports results for our customers at the end of the quarter. While we are, of course, excited about the continued development of our growth engine product, Bingo and emerging offering, we're especially satisfied with the positive trends in our core casino and poker offerings. B2B continued its positive trend with 22% growth in Q4 and a variety of new signed deals which should yield further growth in 2011. Q4 has also seen a variety of new product features and enhancements, including the addition of new games, further localization of our various products, multiple new poker features, a new version of our 3D casino, further CRM and bonusing tools, and a lot more. These developments have started making an impact in Q4, and we expect them to facilitate further growth in 2011. Amongst our latest releases are a new poker playing concept, as well as the innovative Poker Cam, poker camera product, allowing players to play real-time poker with real-time video streams from their webcams, giving for the first time a real meaning to the term poker face in online poker. Q1 started very well, with the strong Q4 trading continuing, primarily in B2C. During January 2011, group average daily revenue increased by approximately 3% compared to Q4. We also have a variety of new product releases in the quarter, which we are sure will contribute to revenues along the year. 2011 has also brought some good regulatory news, with Italy finally moving forward on casino and poker cash games, a development which is critical both for our B2C joint venture with Endemol, as well as for Dragonfish, which is supporting the Italian market leaders, Bwin, Gioco Digitale, and Microgame. Further positive regulatory news come from Spain and Greece, and we're as always bullish on the long-term positive impact of the emerging regulatory framework on the industry in general, and on 888 in particular. In terms of our discussion with Ladbrokes, we have seen the speculation that negotiations are off, but can confirm that this is not the case. We are still engaged in the process, and further announcements will be made as and when appropriate. A note on the Wink earnout, the acquired business has been performing incredibly well, and a month before we know the exact earnout figure, we assume that it will be at the upper end of the range. We've been discussing this with the Wink vendors for a while now, and are in advanced stages of agreeing different payment terms which will allow us to pay the earnout. With a variety of new products and features, and a very strong beginning to the quarter, we feel that 2011 is set to be a better year for 888. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will now hand you back to the operator, who will run the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We We will take our first question today from Vaughn Lewis from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a general one first on the strategy. Are we looking at a sort of complete change of strategy here with Q4 players up 70% and yields down 30%? Are you going down the sort of more casual player route? Will we ever see those yields recover, or is this a sort of step change in volumes and yields and the approach to the business? The second one, on sort of synergies from any deal, you've previously talked about a sort of $40 to $50 million range as being a minimum that you'd expect in a sort of medium-sized deal. Is that still what you would expect? And then finally, on that Wink earnout, I think it was based on 5 to 6 times underlying earnings. And if you're talking about the upper end of the earnout range, I presume you mean towards the maximum of, I think it's £60 million, so $90 odd million. That would suggest that Wink is making $15 million plus, which would be more than half of your group EBITDA, it would seem, if you're happy with consensus forecasts. Is that correct, and is that the way we should be looking at the shape of the business now? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Vaughan. So to start with strategy, I think the answer is slightly twofold. On the one hand, we do have, in a variety of areas, a more casual player focus. I think that the main place where you see this is in our poker. I think we have decided, and I think we've said this a long time ago, that competing against PokerStars and Full Tilt with a U.S. liquidity and infinite resources is going to be very difficult for us, and therefore, not just for us, of course, but we're talking about us now, and therefore, I think it is very critical that we try to move, to shift our focus in poker. And where we shifted it to a place where casual players are more interesting for us. And so in poker, the shift has been towards casual players. The one interesting thing about that, of course, is that, of course, when in poker, unlike in other places, the presence of casual players brings also the professional players because they want to take the money of the casual players. So in that regard, that seems to be working as a good strategy, and we're very happy with that. On the casino side and the other game side, there's not been a significant shift in focus. And specifically, I think that the only place where we get slightly more casual players is in what's called 888 games. 888 games is a lighter shape of casino that's been out for a while now and has been showing very nice growth. So that is the only place, and that's still, of course, very small in the big picture of casino, but that's the only place where we're targeting more casual players. After these two things, the poker casual focus and 888 games, the remainder of it is simply getting many more players. And what we've had some very successful marketing campaigns that brought in a huge number of poker players. I'm talking, you know, numbers we haven't seen in many years, and also a significant number of casino players. I do not expect the yield to remain low longer term. That's definitely not the focus of the business. However, I think that, you know, once you open the door and get in more customers, it is only natural that the marginal customer will bring lower yield. Overall, the way we look at it, of course, we don't want yield to go down, but we're constantly measuring to see that the number of actives times the yield delivers growth. And that's why I referred to before saying that we did see a decrease in ARPU because we brought so many more customers. However, we've seen these core products grow by 20%, so we're happy with the overall outcome. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, maybe just to check on that, though, that the sort of productivity of that is still okay. So the return on the marketing dollars is still working out well. In other words,
In Q4, we've seen better return on marketing dollars on poker and casino than we've seen for almost 2 years.
Okay.
So that's one thing. In terms of, of synergies, clearly I think that there are many differences between different companies, and there's also a difference in how you look at post-merger integration. What do you, you know, how much risk do you want to take? How much do you fold into one infrastructure or another? But I would assume that $40, $50 million for a medium-sized deal is a pretty reasonable assumption. In terms of Wink, so your memory is not bad. We are talking about a multiple of 6, and I think that's a great deal for 100% UK revenues. And when we're saying that it's at the upper end, We don't know yet whether it's going to get close to the 59, which was the cap, or it's going to be slightly below that. But it does mean that Wink is making not necessarily 15 million, but making not far from that. In terms of the revenue, of course, this is contributing a lot less than half of what the group is making. In terms of the EBITDA, it is a very profitable business. And as such, it is one that we're continuing to develop and continuing to push forward on. And with the improvement in performance in the rest of the business, we would expect that to slowly not remain close to half of the EBITDA, but actually the rest of it to grow faster. Because the rest of it, as we all know, is currently with much higher revenue, but with lower margins, which is what we're trying to tackle by growing revenues and controlling costs.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Vaughan.
As a reminder, to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we'll take our next question from Ivor Jones from Numis. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I wonder if you could talk about your plans for the dividend going forward, and then secondly, just whether there were different geographic markets that were particularly strong or weak within the numbers you reported today. Thank you.
Thanks, Ivor. Dividend policy is yet to be determined going forward. Clearly, we have in front of us the business generating cash on one hand, and on the other hand, the Wink earnout, and potentially further need to invest in other markets. And therefore, I'm sure that with the year-end results, the board will take all of this into consideration and come up with a conclusion. I can't give you any more details on that at this point. In terms of geographies, we've basically seen growth almost all across. The beauty of this business is, and the internet business in general, is that once you hit things right, it doesn't limit itself to one market. So we've seen growth in poker all across. We've seen growth in casino all across. The interesting thing, though, is that we did see significant growth in the UK, actually, which is clearly our biggest and strongest market. And that is very important for us because I think that people have been saying that there's no room for further growth in the UK. I think that we proved, at least to ourselves, that with the right products, with the right product improvements, and with successful marketing, you can actually win market share also in a market which is not growing in total. So in that regard, we're very happy about that. But growth has been all across, with no single geography sticking out as more important than others.
And have you done just more marketing spend, or have you done something differently in marketing that's driven these customer numbers?
Well, in terms of the overall, marketing, we have not deviated dramatically from our plan, and so one could deduct from our numbers that we have not marketed dramatically more. I think that in Q4, as we've had stronger revenues, we did allow ourselves to spend a bit more marketing, aiming to have a good start to 2011, and that seems to have worked well as a strategy. But overall, we have seen better marketing rather than more marketing. We've had this is, of course, all of it is slightly fluff in the way to talk about it because, we're all married to the numbers and constantly, checking daily and hourly revenues. But when you, in poker, for example, we completely redid our product to something which is now perceived to be one of the top three products in the market. We have, we put out a very successful campaign with Shane Warne. I'm sure some of you might have seen that. And that campaign, I think, has very little, it's not very attractive for professional players. He talks about tagging players with images. He talks about 3D poker. He talks about being able to choose your deck of cards. None of these are features that the professional players would care about. However, they're all very interesting for the casual lay players. And I think that this combination of a marketing promise delivered well, combined with a product that fulfills the promise, whenever you get that right, you see numbers spike. And, sadly, we don't know how to do it every time, But we've had two successful ones like that. One of the casino, on the casino side, with the there was a campaign for three spins to win almost a £9 million jackpot. That's still continuing, by the way. And we've had a poker campaign, that campaign with Shane Warne that I mentioned, that was very successful. And these have been driving numbers.
And do you think the competitive environment is getting easier as well as your marketing is working well? Are you seeing fewer competitors and them spending less?
Well, I wish I could say that we're seeing less competitors. We're actually seeing all the big guys continue fighting aggressively. You know, we're seeing PokerStars and Full Tilt extremely strong. We're seeing both Party and bwin strong on their own, and clearly they're going to be very strong as a combined entity. We're seeing William Hill market with a lot of energy with their with their Playtech deal, the new acquired assets that they have. We actually see a lot of aggressive marketing in the field. What we do see, though, which is interesting, and I think, Ivor, we discussed this in the past, we see that the smaller players are becoming weaker. We're seeing that to be small in this industry today is almost a death penalty. And that's why I think in one of our discussions I once said that consolidation doesn't necessarily need to come just out of the corporate deals. A lot of it would come out of consolidation by the disappearance of the smaller players. I think that especially the ones that are trying to be multinational and trying to accommodate all the big costs that the big companies have on smaller organizations with less revenues, they're finding this almost impossible. So that is a positive trend for the big companies in the industry.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ivor.
Our next question comes from Simon Davies from Colin Stewart. Please go ahead.
Morning. Obviously, a stronger performance on the revenue front in Q4, but margins still seem to be under some pressure, and the run rate in the year just gone is going to be about 50% of 2 years ago. Can you just give a feel for whether there's going to be a further rationalization program coming through in 2011 and what your view is in terms of marketing spend in 2011 year on year?
Well, in terms of the beauty of this business, and on the other side, the pain of this business, is that almost everything depends on revenue. In other words, you have fixed costs. Your ability to change them dramatically by what you just called rationalization is marginal, because as long as you want to continue developing your systems, as long as you want to, as long as you want to continue pushing forward on all fronts and innovate, etc., it's going to be very difficult to significantly cut your costs. And now, when you look at new projects, such as, for example, Italy regulation, getting your casino approved in Italy, and similarly going forward in other markets, I don't think anybody can dramatically cut down costs in any material manner without damaging the core value of the business. Specifically for us, we have rationalized our costs last year. We have a very strict control on costs, and we would expect costs in 2011 to be very much under control. We do not think that the solution for the margin is going to come out of cutting costs dramatically. Just to explain, $1 million in cost cutting contributes $1 million to the bottom line, but almost similarly, $1 million to the top line adds $1 million to the bottom line. The outcome of this is that we're much more focused on growth and revenue growth than we are on trying to trim down costs again and again and again. Specifically, though, we expect costs in 2011 to be under control, and we continue working on efficiencies. We continue working on low-cost working environments where we have the ability to basically continue doing what we do with less cost. And this will continue being a focus in 2011. In terms of marketing, we do not intend to stop marketing in any way. Of course, marketing is the fuel of the business. And while it may be sometimes very tempting to cut down marketing in order to increase profit, this is a very short-term strategy. As such, we will continue marketing aggressively in 2011, and we expect the marketing ratio to NGR in B2C, of course, because that's where relevant, in 2011 to be only slightly, marginally lower than 2010 without a significant change in that regard. So no intention to reduce marketing investment, and no intention to other than continuing focus on efficiencies and on ensuring that the costs are under control, no intention to dramatically change the cost base. Having said that, we do intend for revenues to grow and therefore for margins to expand based on that.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Eetanjali Sharman from Evolution or Execution Nova. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a verification on your cash levels. Could you tell us what was your year-end cash position and also what was the number net of customer liabilities?
Yeah, Aviad, do you want to give the exact number?
Yeah, guys, we're not publishing the balance sheet as of 31st of December yet, but we gave the cash balances as of 28th of January. And if you want to know, the customer liabilities as of 28th of January was about $36 million.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that.
There are no further questions in the queue today. At this time, I'd like to turn the call back over to your host today, to Mr. Levy. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. So, guys, thank you all for joining the call. This has been a very strong quarter for us, followed by a very good start to Q1. Unlike last year in 2010, where we did have a good start to the year, but that was on a poker downtrend and problematic trading, we're actually starting 2011 on a poker uptrend and overall good performance across all segments. And while clearly that there still remains lots of uncertainties in the industry and a lot of questions about how the regulatory framework would end up displaying itself, we are big believers that 2011 is a good year for the industry, and so it seems going to be a very good year for us. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.